Covenant people respond to a cause without waiting to be asked. That's it. They see a need and they go for it, because that's what covenant is all about. You attack Fabian, you attack me. If one's down, we identify with that person, we intercede for that person, Kerry. We get involved and we stand in the gap. And that's what covenant is all about. It's not about being selfish, it's not me, me, me. It's about the body of Christ as a whole and God's church. And we're here to be as one, and we're here to look for the cause and respond to the cause without being asked. So covenant people respond to a cause without being asked. We're going from 1 Samuel 17. And to set the scene, this is the battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. And the Philistines, if you remember, had their mighty, mighty giant, Goliath, who was 10 foot tall and intimidating. One look at him and it struck fear in the hearts of men and women, the Israelites especially, and they cowered. They were not comfortable at this giant that was challenging them and as God's people. And if we join it at verse 8 of 1 Samuel 17 and verse 8. Goliath stood there and called out to the Israelite troops, "Why bother using your whole arm on the message? Why bother using the whole army? Am I not Philistine enough for you? And you're all committed to Saul? So pick your best fighter and pit him against me. If he gets the upper hand and kills me, the Philistines will all become your slaves. But if I get the upper hand and kill him, you'll all become our slaves and you will serve us. I challenge you, the troops of Israel, this day." Goliath's challenge. "Come on, if you're man enough, come and face me. And if you kill me, we will bow to the Israelites. If not, you will bow to us." And it says in verse 11, when Saul and his troops heard the Philistines' challenge, they were terrified and lost all hope. This great intimidating man was saying, "I'm going to beat the stuffing out of you. I'm going to make you a prisoner, my prisoner." And it's interesting to notice that Goliath's name means to denude, to shame, or to exile. That's what he was all about. But David's name means beloved, lover, love token. He's my love token, the deliverer for Israel. I've set him apart for this purpose. And this challenge that Goliath was making, that terrified the people, just made me sit and think about what's going on in our world today. The world is becoming more and more against Christianity, becoming more and more anti-God. And it's challenging the church. It's trying to exclude the church. It's trying to get rid of the irritation. But you can never do that, because when you attack the church, you are attacking God. And God says, "Get out of the way. This is my battle." And this is what was happening here. The people were terrified and lost all hope. The church today, I don't see as a mighty army defending the cause. I see quite a weak, insipid church on the whole. We've got a church that's happy-clappy and totally ineffective. They're as up and down and running on their emotions and their feelings, but the commitment for most of them isn't there. We've got a church that's legalistic, a church that's traditional, a church that's materialistic. people saying, well, I don't need to go to church anymore. I'm a Christian. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. I don't need to prove anything. I don't need to belong to a body. And what they want to do is accumulate more and more goods, materialistic things. The bigger the house, the bigger the car. And God takes the back seat. And the thought of being part of a body and fighting to defend the nation just doesn't enter their head. And a few weeks ago, somebody put something on my Facebook, and it was a statement that George Orwell made. And he said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. The more society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak it. And we are in such a battle at this moment. They want to get rid, as I said, of the irritation. But here we go. In my translation of 1 Samuel 17 and verse 11, it says, enter David. He was the son of Jesse, the Ephrathite from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse, the father of 8 sons. Interesting. David was the 8th son, and 8 represents the new day. Woo! He was living in the new covenant, David. He wasn't living under law, he was living under grace. And he was a radical man, and he was bringing in a new day. And for us to relate to who are in that new day, the new covenant, we can relate to him, and he could relate to us in this instance. Jesse himself was too old to join Saul's army, but his 3 eldest sons had followed Saul to the war. David was the youngest, and while his 3 oldest brothers went to war with Saul, David went back and forth from attending to Saul and from attending his father's sheep in Bethlehem. He was a covenant man. He never left his sheep unattended, even though he had a job to do. For Saul, he always on an evening came back and tended the sheep in Bethlehem. He was a very caring, loving shepherd, a picture of Jesus. He never leaves us alone, as we heard on Sunday. We're never alone. He's always with us. He will never leave his sheep. He said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And in verse 16 it says, each morning and evening for 40 days Goliath took his stand and made his speech. One day, Jesse told David, his son, take this sack of cracked wheat and these 10 loaves of bread and run them down to your brothers in the camp. And take these 10 wedges of cheese to the captain of their division. Check in on your brothers to see whether they're getting along all right. And let me know how they're doing. Saul and your brothers and all the Israelites in the war with the Philistines in the Oak Valley. Verse 20. David was up at the crack of dawn. And here's another covenant sentence. And having arranged for someone to tend his flock, he didn't go without making provision for his sheep. He took food and was on his way just as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the army was moving into battle formation, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines moved into position, facing each other, battle ready. David left his bundles of food in the care of a sentry and ran to the troops who were deployed and greeted his brothers. While they were talking together, the Philistine champion, Goliath of Gath, stepped out from the front lines of the Philistines and gave his usual challenge. And David heard him. Uh-oh. When the Israelites heard it, every one of them to a man fell back the moment they saw the giant, totally frightened. The talk among the troops was, have you ever seen anything like this? This man openly and defiantly challenging Israel. And then they said, the man who kills this giant will have it made. The king will give him a huge reward, offer his daughter as a bride, and give his entire family a free ride. They fell back when they saw the giant, and they were totally frightened. The devil is a great blusterer and a showman. And the thing that he wants to make you feel is fear. That's his prime motive. That's the power source that he gets from you. He has no power of his own. He only can get what he can get. He can only operate on the fear that arises in you when you hear of him or something goes wrong and you become afraid. That's his power source. And that's what was happening to the Israelites. They were totally immobilized and standing in fear. And I really feel that that is a comparison to the church today. There's a lot of us are silently complaining and saying, how can this happen? Goodness me, have you heard what so-and-so's done? I'm challenging the church and, in COVID, they're closing the churches. That's just not right. This can't happen. But there's very few people who will stand up and do something about it. But God, I believe, is putting us in this place where he said, it's no good complaining. It's time to take your authority, to know who you are, a people of power, and to rise up in the name of Jesus and stand against the evil that the devil is trying to throw at us. Psalm 18, Andrew put on Facebook last night, and on Messenger last night, and I was so excited because it's just a beautiful picture of how when the devil intimidates us and backs us into a corner and we scream out, God immediately hears our cry and he's immediately rides the darkness and he comes down and right to where we are and he swoops down and he picks us up and he lifts us out of that horrible situation. He delivers us from the enemy and he holds us to him, and we know then that we're well safe and secure and protected. And that is God's desire, because as Daniel was saying on Sunday, my little boy, I will do anything for him because I so love him. And just that is the way God looks at us. You're my dear, dear, dear children, and I will do anything for you. And he will. He's always on our side. He always hears the faintest cry. And when the devil challenges us, he's challenging God. So don't be afraid. Just lock into the word of God. Just get the word of God and say, God, I need to hear your voice. And God will give you something that will reassure you that don't be afraid. Fear not, for I am with you. For I am your God. I will comfort you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He knows. He's always there for us. His eye is never off us. So don't ever be afraid. There is never a reason to be afraid. And in verse 26, it says, David, who was talking to the men standing around him, asked, what's in it for the man who kills that Philistine, and I love this, and gets rid of that ugly blot on Israel's honour? David was a man of war, and he was not going to sit back and take that sitting down. He was going to stand up and say, I am not having this. You are not calling my God. You are not defying my God. I'm going to fight you. I'm going to win. He says in the King James, you uncircumcised Philistine. You know, he despised him. He had nothing but contempt for him and for the enemy. And he said, we'll get rid of this ugly blot on Israel's honour. Who does he think he is anyway? Here we are, this uncircumcised Philistine. Taunting the enemies of the living God. He would dare to do that. He has no idea who he's challenging. He's no idea how mighty God is. He has no respect for him. He doesn't know him. But I do. and I know who's in charge of me, and I know who will defend me and protect me. I know who's in covenant with me, and I'm in covenant with him. I have nothing to be afraid of, because my covenant God will come through for me every time. Amen. He was secure in his covenant relationship with God. He knew God would always defend him. Verse 27. The men told him that what everyone was saying about what the king would do for the man who killed the Philistine. Eliab, David's older brother, heard David fraternizing with the men and lost his temper. What are you doing here? Why aren't you minding your own business, tending that scrawny flock of sheep? I know what you're up to. You've come down here to see the sights, hoping for a ringside seat in a bloody battle. The contempt of his brother. And David said, all I did was ask a question. And it says in the King James Version, he said, is there not a cause? Do I not have a reason to feel this way? The cause is there, and I'm ready to take it up and challenge it and bring it down. Amen? What is it with you? All I did was ask a question. He ignored his brother, and he turned to someone else and asked the same question and got the same answer. I love David. He ignored the scorn and the intimidation of his family in this instance. He was not fazed by it. He didn't go off into self-pity and think, how come they speak to me in this way? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going down the garden to eat worms. You know, he didn't take his bat home and get offended. He saw the greater cause. He was a covenant man. Covenant people are not self-seeking. It's not me, me, me. It's all about him. And it's all about the cause. And it's all about the kingdom. And it's all about the body of Christ. And it's all about the unsaved. Who God wants, establishing the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The things David was saying were picked up and reported to Saul. And Saul sent for him. Master, said David to Saul, don't give up hope. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine. Woo! Here again, David wasn't self-seeking. He was all about God's house first, God's people first, God's work first, God's family first. Not me, God's family. The kingdom is the most important thing in my life, and I will defend it and fight for it with my life. I will stand when everybody else runs away and is whinging and moaning and complaining and doing their own thing and burying their head in the sand and pretending this isn't happening. And it is. Wake up, church. It's happening. It's time to respond. And so David said to Saul, don't give up hope, I'm ready to go and fight. And Saul answered David, and he said, no, you can't go and fight this Philistine. He said, you're too young, you're too inexperienced, and he's been at this fighting business before you were born. All Saul could see was realism. The way it was. He'd lost his relationship with God, Saul. But David hadn't. And he was seeing from a totally different vantage point to Saul. And David said this, and I love this. I've been a shepherd, tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it. I'd knock it down and I'd rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat and I'd wring its neck and kill it. A lion and a bear. I'm not quite sure I'd do that. But boy, was he a mighty man of valour. Nothing intimidated him. He had the Spirit of God in him and he was afraid of nobody. He knew his covenant. He knew his God before him. Who could be against him? Folks, church, we need to wake up and know how much God is for us and how God views the devil. And I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who is taunting the troops of the living God. The God who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. Yes. And we need to treat the enemy with the same contempt as what David did. You have no authority over me. Get out of my life. I am not bowing the knee to you. You are not making me a slave. You're not putting me in exile. You uncircumcised Philistine. I am in covenant with the living God. And I have greater one lives in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And God has called me to stand and do spiritual warfare against wicked spirits in heavenly places and bring them down so that they no longer influence society. And David was a born fighter. And he said, I know that God will fight through me. So you don't intimidate me, devil. My God's my champion and he will protect me. And I will come out shouting. And later on, we're not going to go there tonight, but later on, before he killed Saul, he prophesied exactly what was going to happen to him. And it happened to the letter. I know my champion, and you haven't got a chance. So, yes, Saul said, go, and God help you. Then Saul fitted David out as a soldier in armour. He put on his bronze helmet on his head and he belted his sword on him over the armour. David tried to walk, but he could hardly budge. You know, imagine Saul's armour on little David. It just totally weighed him down. And it's here, the help of man is vain. If God's called you, he will equip you. He will protect you. He will defend you. It's all God. And this is what we need to get to know. God will not give his glory to another. If he asks you to do something, he will equip you and he will do everything that's necessary. You don't need his to help him. All you need to do is obey. It's better to obey than sacrifice. Just do it. Get on with it. And God will defend you. God will make sure that you come out standing in victory. Whenever the devil attacks me, this is what I always go to. And God gives me a word and it clicks in the spirit and I think, right devil, this is what God says and this is how it's going to be. And you better listen because my champion's fighting for me and he's going to bring you down. And this word is how it's all going to shake out. So, don't ever be afraid of him. Get the word of God and hit him straight between the eyes with it. Amen. God says, apart from me, we've heard on the other Sunday, apart from me, you can do nothing. So don't separate from God or else you are very, very, very vulnerable to get picked off. God says, get under my feathers. I'm protecting you. And stay there. Stay in covenant. Stay in relationship. Focus on me. Focus on my word. Yeah, God is wanting his church to rise up as a body. God says the kingdom of God will come on the earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus was praying his high priestly prayer, he said, Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. and in Daniel says he saw a stone that hit the world system and the world's power and statue, and it fell down, and this stone grew and grew and grew till it filled the whole earth. And Jesus says, I'm coming back for a glorious bride, a victorious bride. Well, at the moment, she's a ragtag outfit. She's not really looking very glorious. But God is challenging the church, and he's saying, come on, it's time to rise up. It's time to know who you are. It's time to read the word of God and hear what I say about you. That is the most important thing, not what the devil says. What I say is the truth, and the truth will set you free. What I say will set you free. And that's what's crucial, that we know that. It really annoys me at the moment when I see people saying, God's going to take us out. Things are getting so bad, it's never been so dark. Wait, watch, God's going to take us all out. It's our time to go. No, it's not, church. It's not our time to go. It's our time to stand and see the kingdom of God established on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus prayed, he gave us the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. We are to bring in the kingdom. We have a work to do. We're not being zipped out on an escape route. God is not taking us out. He's saying, come on, church, rise up, as David did, and say, are these uncircumcised Philistines going to rule us or not? Or is God greater? Are we going to stand for the greater cause? Is there not a cause? Well, I think at the moment in our nation, and in America and throughout the nations of the world, there is a cause. And it's time for the church to stop being so introvert and get looking outward, getting a look at what's going on universally, nationally and internationally. And let's stand in the gap. Lord, build your church, Lord. Make us strong, Lord. Join us as one, that we are a mighty army moving forward to defeat wicked spirituals in high places. And I'm not talking about walking out with banners. I'm talking about doing the spiritual warfare up there. That's where the battle lies, in the heavenly realms. And that's where God has called us to rule and reign. He said, you rule and you reign. And it's time for the church to do it.